American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Melinda Skelton. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to open up this next segment, this next hour. I've been talking to my good friend, Hal Runkel, author of Scream Free Parenting. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Always a pleasure. Always thrilled to be back here.
We've been immersed in the Judge Kavanaugh hearings for the last 2 weeks, and it's the most derisive that our country has been.
Towards each other, yes.
Towards each other in crazy. Years. And sex has been on the forefront and social media in general. And if there is any good that can come of this, it's talking about sex to our kids.
If we can, you know, if the discomfort of the normal conversations about sex can be overpowered by the need to talk about it given the current climate, then
right.
That's a good thing, right? I mean, we all would love, I mean, our parent anxiety says, let's not talk about sex ever to our kids. Let's not even imagine them ever, you know.
I'm the most open person I know. And when I start talking to my children about sex, I start to stutter.
Yeah.
I start to sweat. I get all,
right.
And it's like, and
yeah.
I get this twitch.
And now, over the last year, because really it was about a year ago when all the Me Too kind of movement started. So in the last year, that has been elevated to the forefront of so much conversation, but it's also made it even more complicated.
Right.
Right. And it's even led to more differences between husbands and wives than were there before. And I talk with a lot of men who are great, great guys, great fathers, and want to do and say good things and want to help their kids become adults in the right way. And they've made some missteps and said some things that are just reflective of the fact that there is no way I can ever fully adopt a female perspective.
No, you can't.
I can't.
You can't.
I can try my best. I am an amazingly educated person, an experienced person, and I talk about this stuff all the time. And I still this week got from my wife, "That's because you're a man." statement.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So that's a big one.
Yes. And it's not that I automatically have to agree with everything she says because of that, but if I want to have the marriage I've always craved, I got to listen.
But likewise, I can't have the male perspective.
Right. Right. And that's the why we have to listen to each other. I will tell you my strong bias at this point is women have been listening to men for thousands of years. Far more than men have.
Preach on!
Yes, far more than men have listened to women. And so much of my thinking has been we men need to be quiet. But the last 2 weeks has brought up such a firestorm. The whole false accusation thing, the weaponization of victimhood, which I've seen. So let's make it as practical as possible, though. What are you going to say this week? That's what I like to talk about. What are you going to say this week to your kids, to your teenagers, right? What are you going to say to your daughters? What are you going to say to your sons about how to conduct themselves? And is it going to be this reactive, well, son, you better watch out because, I mean, or are you going to try to calm yourself down and have responsible conversations with them?
Right.
Right? And that's what we're going to try to do today.
Okay.
I want to take callers. I want to have people bring your genuine questions. If you're calling in to say partisan argument on the pile, we're not going to take
This is
call.
Not the show for you today.
Right. that's certainly going to inform your questions, right? But that's what we want is to discuss the practical realities of talking about this on the ground level in the most important relationship and role we have, and that's as parents.
Right. And we're taking those calls at 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Let's let something positive come of this.
Yes.
And let's let the derisiveness dissipate for a little while, for the next hour.
It's true. For an hour, and then everybody can get back
just
to...
Just for an hour, let it dissolve.
Now, this doesn't mean we're going to avoid the issues involved, right? We have to address those, but can we address those with our best grown-up brain rather than our reptilian reactive... Well, it's a terrible time to be a man. I mean, come on. Let's just all
pause. I've heard that.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Well, Trump said it, right? And it's a terrible time to be a man. Let's just all calm down and try to parse through the issues, again, with our best adult human brains.
Okay. Can I ask you to tell me how you would have this conversation? You have a daughter in college.
I do. She's 21, and a son in college now. Who's 19.
How would you have this conversation right now?
With which one? Because it's
is it going to be different?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be different. I've been talking to my son more lately because I had these conversations more a few years ago. But I still talk routinely, and I think my wife has had more conversations with our daughter Hannah than I have. But my son has come to me recently, and it's been overall just about girls. And I started writing a book to him with just some ideas along these lines. And one of the first things I talked to him about is screw consent. Go for something bigger. Go for more than that. Consent. I don't want a woman.
Okay, you scared me at first.
I know.
Did you see my face?
That's why
my heart stopped.
Hey, I'm a writer, so yeah. I mean, I'm a public speaker, so I got to shock you, right? Right. So I said, screw consent, right? Go for something bigger. Go for what you really want. You want enthusiastic mutual desire. You don't want reluctant, okay, consent. That is a terrible low. Now I agree. We have to at least have that as a bar. Right. But it's a pretty low bar because it's not what you actually want most. What you want most is a woman to want you. So I actually told him, look, oh, God, yes, means go. Anything else means stop. Have some standards because that's what you want. Right.
Right.
I talked to couples all over.
Am I blushing?
Yes. Right. But that's what we all want. We don't just want somebody to consent. Right. Lay there. There's lots of different ways for orgasm to happen. What we want is someone to want us. And so don't be in a place where you cannot absolutely swear that she's enthusiastically wanting it to go forward with you, whether that's going forward with any step, holding hands, right? You don't want it to be, right? Okay, I give you my official consent, right? Do you want it to be enthusiastic and excited? So that's one of the conversations I've had with him.
Okay.
Another one is, don't get drunk around girls.
Oh, that's excellent.
Just don't do it, right?
You start acting stupid.
Just, because you have no way of actually enjoying that enthusiastic mutual desire, because I talked to him also about, well, I mean, we're still on public, on a
yes,
station.
Yes, we are.
So I was gonna say a phrase, right, that we talk about all the time, whiskey something, but if you have too much to drink, mm-hmm. right? But like, dude, you just so much of what makes you actually genuinely attractive and capable as a man goes away with each beer, right?
Right.
So much of that. So just... instead of having to draw more narrow lines, okay, don't have a third beer when I'm by myself in a room with a girl, and don't just have this policy. Don't get drunk around girls. Right?
Excellent.
Because here's the main thing, dude, it's not attractive. It never has been. It never will be. And now, because women have been given the strength and the example to speak up more than they have, they will. Now, will this lead to false accusations? Yes, I can tell you some research I've done about mm-hmm. that before, right? But just don't get drunk around women, and the chances of that ever happening become so minuscule.
Perfect. Can you share one short one with us?
One short one? Well, it's along the same lines, but the deal is you don't want to get in a place where a woman feels any way pressured by you. I actually did tell him this. I said, because there is still mystery and romance and seduction, and there is that game, right, that couples play, that men and women play with each other, and there is something to masculinity and femininity, and masculine being initiative and feminine being responsive. There is something to that. I actually told him, and maybe we should just leave this as a teaser because I'll explain it when we come back, is that women still do want to be taken, but not in any way that we've ever said that before. Should we wait and come back?
We should wait and come back. Okay.
Leave that as a hanger.
We're speaking with Hal Runkel. He is a, what's your official title?
I am a change agent. That's what I am.
A change agent.
Yep. So I coach, I speak, I do media, I write. But overall, if I'm anything, I'm a change agent.
And you are an author of Scream Free Parenting.
Yes.
And we want to remind people that, hey, we have a UGA game getting ready to start.
Yes.
Yeah. Pre-game starts at 3:30 right after this show, and kickoff is at 7:30 against Vanderbilt. And if you want to keep up with the Kavanaugh vote, you can do so at the WSB app. We're going to be monitoring that throughout the day.
Cool.
And with our very own Jamie Dupree commentaries throughout that. So keep it tuned here to WSB all afternoon long. And if you want to join us on the lines, you can do so at 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. You're listening to WSB only on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Confirmation. From emotional testimony to the Supreme vote, WSB covers the breaking news and brings you in-depth analysis as this story unfolds. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We're in the studio with Hal Runkel of Scream Free Parenting and life coach and life changer. And we are talking about how to handle the Kavanaugh hearings and the derisiveness, and talk about it with your kids, the sexual component of it,
sure,
and have a positive outcome of all this derisiveness.
Can you have a positive conversation about sexual ethics? Can we actually use this, as divided as we are, can we actually use it to learn something about each other and elevate our dialogue? This is how human beings have evolved their thinking throughout human history, is we have a disagreement, and I realize, you know what, this person I'm disagreeing with is just as smart as me, right? Has just as valid a right to hold their opinion as me, and maybe I need to think things through.
And we want to hear from you.
Yes.
And that number is 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Give us a call. We have a couple of lines open. We want to hear from you. That number is 404-872-0750.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, if you've been listening to the last 30 minutes, you know we're tackling a sensitive
thorny issue?
A thorny issue. If you've been following the Kavanaugh vote, you know that sexual. Help me out here, Hal.
You know, it's sexual responsibility. How about that?
It's tough for me to talk about.
Yeah.
Sexual responsibility has been in the forefront, and this is one of the most derisive times in our country's history.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought today would be a good time to see if we could dissolve that for an hour.
And make it practical, right? Because arguing with your so-called friends on Facebook about this is not actually going to change anything.
No.
But talking to your sons and daughters about sexual responsibility with the new information that we're learning, with the new world that we live in, with the forever power of the internet, for instance, and how what you say and post when you're 16 can be, right? I mean, imagine if this is happening 30 years from now, we don't have paper calendars being held up at the hearings, right? We've got Twitter records, you know, that people are bringing up. You know? So there wouldn't be, it would say, one thing's interesting is we would, I don't know if it would be better or if we'd have more quote unquote facts or not, but we would have a record.
If Twitter and Facebook were around I were in high school, there's no way I could hold a job.
I know. It's just terrifying.
I would be in so much trouble.
It's terrifying. So let's make it practical. Let's talk to how do we talk to our kids, right, about sexual responsibility in a world of Me Too? In a world of social media and the permanence of the internet, how do we do that?
Let's go to the phone lines, but we want you to join us. That's 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. We have Betty on the line with us. Betty, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. What would you like to share?
I just wanted to make a comment how my mom and dad taught me that if I wanted to be treated like a lady, then I needed to dress, talk, and act like a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that would help the young girls. It also helped the young men.
And I think you're absolutely correct that how you present yourself, how you represent yourself in how you dress and how you act, how you speak, will directly shape how other people treat you.
I think that's right. It's true.
Here's the way it doesn't do. Because where that argument has been abused in the past is, well, she dressed that way, so she deserved
it,
whatever treatment she got. And here's some helpful language, I think. She is responsible for how she behaves. She's responsible for how she dresses and behaves and talks and represents herself. Absolutely.
I think that's true.
But she is not responsible for how anyone else behaves towards her.
Mm-hmm.
She is not responsible for how a guy then treats her. There is nothing she can do that can say she caused his treatment of her, because that would be saying that he's not responsible for his behavior. And throughout history, there have been societies that have said, well, men just simply cannot be trusted, so we cannot show an ankle because men can't control themselves. Well, why the heck not? Why can't they control themselves, right? Is the sexual drive powerful? Of course. Yay, let's celebrate it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It takes a man to manage it. And it's what's your job as a man to manage it, regardless of how anyone is dressed around you or whether or not she's acting like a lady. So what we have to do is stop saying that one person taking responsibility for their behavior means that they can take responsibility for other people's behavior. And that's not true. Now, here's another wrinkle to the issue. If you want to be treated like a lady, then act like a lady, right? It greatly increases your chances. It does not guarantee that you will be treated like a lady.
Okay. Very good point.
Because there's not a girl or a woman I know that has not been mistreated because of her sexuality in some way, shape, or form. My daughter, yes. My wife, yes. My coworkers, yes. The people that are employees that have worked with me, yes. There's not one. And that does not mean in any way, shape, or form they didn't want to be treated like a lady. They could set out with and do all the right things. But one of the things we have to face, and this is something my wife has helped me understand, is you are at an inherent power disadvantage as a woman simply because of two things. One, basic physical size and strength. Two, that women always bear the burden of sex. meaning they're the ones that get pregnant and they're left with the burden of that. So that has always put women at an inherent disadvantage. What we've also done is taken advantage of them in so many other ways. And we've come up with diagnoses that say they can't think, they're driven by feelings, right? It's always revelation to people that, you know, where the term hysterectomy came from.
Yes. Hysteria.
Yes. Yes. It was, you are hysterical. So you were diagnosed with hysteria, which only women could be diagnosed. So in order to remove you of that emotionality, we're going to remove your uterus and call it a hysterectomy, right? Because men don't get hysterical ever.
No, not at all.
No, they never get overly emotional at all, right? Just go to the college football game later and you'll see plenty of it, right? So I want to have a conversation. It says to my daughter, and I have, look, you know, does dressing like a woman that you want to be treated, pursue how you want to be treated. That does not guarantee you'll be treated that way, but it does greatly increase the chances. But here's another wrinkle to it. Some women don't want to be treated like a lady. They want to be treated as an object of lust, right? Because that gives them a certain sense of validation. And if you think about it, there's a part of me, I can understand it. Because we were talking about this off the air. When people get stressed out, we double down on what we think we have. When people feel insecure, we double down on what we think we have. And so I'm going to show off my Delta medallion bag tag at the airport, right? Because finally a place that recognizes how important I am, right? Or I'm going to show off my kids because I really don't think I have anything, right, to show off. And so I show off them. We'll do anything. We'll use anything when we are operating from a place of insecurity. Well, think about it. A girl growing up has been taught through all of our messaging and imaging that to get power, you have to be an amazingly attractive sexual being. And she starts to develop that. It's tempting to want to show it off, especially if you've got an inherent power disadvantage.
I'm fond of turtlenecks. What does this say about me?
You're completely secure in your femininity and your sexuality. It's amazingly secure.
Evidently.
And so here's the thing. Do we reward more attractive women? Yes.
Yes.
We do. All the time. And so do girls make mistakes by leaning too heavily on that? Yes. Just like men make mistakes by leaning too heavily on what car they drive or how much money they make or what their position is, and they don't realize you're actually showing your insecurity. Like when somebody says that person has a really big ego, from a former licensed therapist perspective, what they really mean is that person has a really small ego.
Okay.
And they're puffing it up to make it look bigger. We all do this in one way or another, and dressing a certain way is one way that people do it, right? And girls do it because it does give them attention. It gives them again, psychologist hat on for a second. Maybe they're not getting attention. I will tell you this. The stronger a relationship a girl has with her father, the less she has that baseline need to attract boys.
And oh, that's strong.
In exchange for secure, mature love from a dad, they will take lust from a boy. They will do that.
That is strong.
So one of the best things to say to your daughters is, I love and respect you, and I'm not scared of you becoming a young woman. I'm not scared of you developing breasts. I'm not scared of you.
You can't say that.
You can demonstrate it by being just as affectionate as you were before, by being just as close, wanting to spend time, right? I came home one time, and my daughter, she had several friends over, and there was ice cream and cookies and chips out and some chick flick on. And I knew immediately he broke up with her.
Oh.
That's what I just figured, right? And she was crying, whatever. And as soon as I got there, she'd been with her mom. It'd been great. She'd been with her friends, right? But as soon as I got there, she cleared a space for me on the couch and said, I want my daddy. And just climbed on my lap. And this is a 17-year-old.
In front of all her
young,
friends?
In front of all her friends, right? And wanted to hold my hand and just watch this movie with me, Daddy.
Oh, right? Wow.
I cherish moments like that because that's a, it's a validation that, okay, I did something right. So many times what we think, well, what they need to know is this is how guys think. Well, that might be somewhat helpful, but it's not how all guys think all the time. But no matter what you do, you're not responsible for what somebody else does.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines real quick and speak with Earl. Earl, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I am well. Good afternoon.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah. I come from a slightly different point of view.
Okay.
I'm a grandfather now. Mm. I fathered four children, three boys and a girl, and they all basically got the same talk.
Mm. Which was?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Nice.
You respect other people, they will respect you in most cases.
Yes.
You're always going to run into the oddball. But sure. I taught all my boys that there is absolutely no reason for you to lay hands on a woman. None.
Right.
I don't care if she hits you, slaps you, steps on your toe. There is no reason for you to lay hands.
You're still responsible for your behavior, no matter what she does.
Absolutely.
I love it. That's
and
great.
I told them, if you do something wrong, you're going to have to answer to me when you get home.
Cool.
I'm a hands-on dad, and I'm a hands-on granddad, too. My five-year-old granddaughter, now she's not at that point where she needs to have this kind of talk.
No.
But the kind of talk where that's not respectful, I don't like that. That comes out a whole lot. Well, you know, she blows raspberries at me in fun. That's fine. If I say something to you, you blow raspberries at me, you're going to get the, hey, that's, I don't like that. Mm. That's not respectful. And I'm
sure.
Too. I just happened to be writing a book.
Okay. Well, my condolences.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
We only have about 30 seconds left.
Okay. The gist of the book is that you need to do unto others as you want them to do unto you.
I think I have heard that before somewhere. Exactly.
One of the points I press is that you're there. If you want people to notice you and to respect you, then you need to do the right thing.
Sure.
Period.
Sure.
In all situations.
And I would love, I want to follow up on that, because one of the difficulties is what exactly the right thing is has been changing over the last year.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Thank you, Scott. Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. I'm with Hal Runkle. He is a life coach, a
change agent. How about that?
Change agent.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaker, coach, all that stuff.
We don't have much time, so we're going to quickly go to the phone lines because I really want to get Michael on the air. Uh-huh. Michael, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I was wondering when you were talking about...
No, that can't be the music.
Really?
Hello?
Oh,
yeah,
no,
sorry,
Michael.
Dude.
Okay. Shoot. Okay. How can people find you if they... want more information about how to get in touch with you?
Go to screamfree.com or look me up on Facebook, just Hal Runkle, or screamfree.com. And hey, always email me directly, hal@screamfree.com.
More show coming your way next. Stay tuned.